Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Aren't they so much fun? I love our kids. A little unpredictable, but that's what I like. A little unpredictable. It's good. We have a few special guests here that we want to recognize this morning. From the Mexico territory, we have Lieutenant Colonels Gerardo y Piña Goches. Did I say that correctly? Wonderful. We are so happy that you're here. Thank you for joining us. It's wonderful that we can come together no matter where and still be family. And that's what we're talking about today, actually. I also want to recognize my mom is here because I can do that. Mary Meredith. She's been here because we had officers' councils. It was cut a little bit short, so we got to spend a little extra time together, which is always nice. But she heads out today. Always enjoy being together with family. And then I want to make just a real quick plug to be praying for all who've been called out to serve in response to Hurricane Helene. From our Corps, we have, of course, Captain Paul, who's the incident commander of the team in South Georgia. We have Captain Dakari Darby, who is the operations chief of that team. Major Julia Butler is the state liaison. And our canteen left out yesterday morning at 7 a.m. To head down to Valdosta as well to serve the community there. And just hearing Paul's voice yesterday, they need your prayers. There's a lot of need. There's always more need than resources, but it's amazing to see how God can meet the need exactly where it's needed, and we have trust fully for that. But if you would not mind, if you have a second today, just to pray for them and for everybody, South Georgia, parts of Florida, the Carolinas and Tennessee, and Jean, thank you for praying today. Marilee, thank you very much for your prayers. The standard Greek lexicon for the New Testament has four entries for koinonia, or koinonia, however you want to say it. I say koinonia. The word lexicon is just a fancy word for vocabulary, and this particular word is Greek in origin. And yeah, I had to look up that word lexicon. And if you didn't know, it takes about 15 to 20 times to use a word before it becomes a part of your vocabulary. I thought that was kind of interesting. This is a word we only see in the New Testament. And we see it used about 18 to 20 times, which tells you that God probably wants it to be part of our... Yeah, you got it. I thought you might say vocabulary, but yes, our lexicon or vocabulary. And like many words that we see in Scripture, there is not a direct translation of the word koinonia. Therefore, we use a lot of words to help capture the essence of its meaning. This reminds me most of the different definitions of love that we find in the Bible. I know Paul has preached about this before. We, in English, have the word love, right? But there are varying degrees. So I can say, I love pizza, But it means a very different thing when I say that I love my children or my husband or my mom. And in the same way, there are different words to describe the love between two friends or lovers or between God and man. The word love covers a lot of emotions and feelings, and beyond that, commitment. Now we're going to look at the first two definitions of koinonia today, because we're going to look at two next week as well. But this first one is a close association involving mutual interest and sharing, association, communion, fellowship, close relationship. And that the second one we'll look at in a couple of minutes is an attitude of goodwill that manifests an interest in a close relationship, generosity, or altruism. And I'm going to have you open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. Is that Old or New Testament? New, because it has the word koinonia in it, so we know for sure it's in New Testament. 1 John chapter 1, and I'll read verses 1 through 4. And this is what his word says. Pardon. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us, to proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship or koinonia with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. I probably shouldn't have eaten that apple on an empty stomach. John explains his purpose in writing. Those who have seen this life and have been captured by its beauty and promise find that they have come to belong to a new kind of family, a fellowship, as we sometimes say. The word he uses at this point is sometimes used of a business partnership, but he means so much more than that. It can also refer to the sharing of a particular goods or benefits between people. But John means much more than that too. He seems to mean that there is a kind of life or a quality of life which is God's very own life and which God himself is now sharing with the people who have heard and seen the life come to life called Jesus. Have you ever wondered why televised sports have commentators? I haven't, because I don't watch it very often, but I'm going to make a good point, I think. The commentators serve a vital role. They help everyone focus their attention on the relevant parts of the game. At least that's what good commentators do. The goal is to explain what's happening to fans so fans can share in the joy or despair of how their team is performing. How about that UGA game yesterday? Oh, no. No, no, no. Get out. I'm just kidding. John is like a sports commentator for the greatest event ever. The incarnation. He is declaring to his audience what is happening. The result is not just seeing Jesus, but sharing in life. Now, I was interested to see what people in general thought were common likes across the board. And here's what I found. This is the list. And what I'm going to ask of you is for you to raise your hand if this is a like of yours. Number one on this list of likes was puppies. So raise your hand if you like puppies. That way we can see who's the monster here. Who does not like puppies? I'm just kidding. Number two of this list, actually, it was 2 through 5, so I condensed it to one general one. I said, in fact, any baby animal. I just love baby animals. They're just so cute. Number three on this list was a really good hug. Anybody enjoy a really good hug? I need them every so often. It's helpful. Sometimes I cry. Number four is blankets or towels straight from the dryer. There's two more. Number five is getting into bed after a long day. It's the best. After a short day, huh? Don't bother me. And the last one, number six, is sipping a warm drink on a cold fall day. We don't really know what that is here, but you can imagine. Now, this list of six things, and I'm sure we could just talk forever about the things that we love, football, basketball, sports. These are all lovely things, things we can find community in. But what draws us even closer and deeper is the acknowledgement of who Jesus is and the professing of his gospel as truth. And by truth, I mean capital T truth, not my truth, not your truth. It is the truth. And now I want to look at how generosity plays a part in the fellowship of believers. And I'm going to ask you to flip back a little bit into 2 Corinthians, Old or New Testament. That was not nice. New Testament, very good. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at verses 10 through 15. This is what his word says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in your prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. In the normal and healthy Christian life, everything proceeds from God's generosity, and everything returns to God in thanksgiving. Grace, generosity, and gratitude, these are not optional extras of the Christian living, but are the very heart of all of it. In order for generosity to be outwardly expressed, the heart must be made rich in sincere love and compassion for others. Giving of ourselves and our possessions results in supplying the needs of others. We know that. We're the Salvation Army, right? Praise and thanksgiving to God and reciprocal love from those who receive our help. Generosity makes room for relationships. Selfishness will always isolate you from others. And if you don't believe those two statements, take a gander in our nursery. Take a couple of Sunday mornings to spend in there. Because when our kids are sharing, there is peace and harmony in the room. Right, Miss Julie? She's nodding back there. But when our kids do not share, it is pure and utter chaos. And I don't know why we think we're any different. Looking back at our scripture in Acts that Andrea read earlier, thank you, Andrea. The church today can look at these scriptures as a utopia to which we should measure all of our activities or our relationships. But I'm pretty sure we would come up short every time. And only because these are not a blueprint of how we should live and interact. Should we fellowship? Yes. Should we break bread? Some of us are gluten-free. Do we pray? Yes. Sell property? Sure. If that's where the Lord leads, then yes. But without the supernatural power of a holy God, these things aren't any different than filling up someone's schedule. And so, these texts say less about the model church practices and more about the dynamic power of God among believers. What could be? And I don't want to limit God to what was then. What is he wanting to do now? What does God want to do in Gwinnett County? What does he want to do with you? What does he want to do with me? Now that we have mainly adults, young adults, teens in the room, let me ask you a question. How are you doing? I think we all know what the answer is because we've trained some of our kids already. Good, fine, in Judah's case, bad. And sometimes I'm the worst offender. You can barely catch me as I'm running to the next thing. That's on me. I personally think it's a funny question because I think we should be asking, how are you being? You cannot build community of depth on a just fine or doing good or things could be better, but here we are. If you can make a concerted effort to strengthen the bond of koinonia this week with your generosity of spirit, if you think, yeah, that's something I can do. When I leave a conversation with someone this week, I can see the potential for growth. I can make a promise to foresee the eternal value in my interactions with my children, with my husband or wife, with my friends, family, maybe my workmates. Ephesians 4:49 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others." And it's not just building others up, but it's according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Every sermon, every conversation, every trip and fall, every excuse me has the potential for a means of salvation. There are no meaningless moments. Unless you're sitting down to watch a Florida Gators game, just saying. Life can be amazingly meaningful at every moment. And to someone who overthinks things, that sounds pretty exhausting. But don't worry. You don't have to worry about which every moment is going to be what. God takes care of that. We just have to live in the freedom that He gives. Living life open to possibilities. Don't miss out on the richness of the fellowship of believers. Not just to get to know people, just to get to know people, but to be a part of something that God is nurturing. To move beyond the transactional side of having church and diving in the deep end of what some might think, especially introverts, uncomfortability. Now, I know that's not a word. I cannot lie to say that this has not pierced my heart this morning. So I'm going to find myself at that altar because I feel like I move and move and move, and I don't take time to listen to you sometimes. And my heart wants you to know, first and foremost, there is so much love there. But God wants more. He wants us to grow deeper together. And that takes intentionality to stop, to speak, to listen. And if you feel anything that I've said, or maybe things that I haven't said, maybe God is just leading you to come and pray, please do it. Please pray. Come and share communion with the Lord. If you want to stay in your seat, you stay right where you are. If God is just speaking to you there, that's okay too. But I'm going to pray for a few minutes, and we're going to have the song we sang earlier. Very easy chorus. I love you, Lord. We'll sing it together once, and then we'll have just a few moments to pray. If the Lord is leading you, please, please come. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. They're worrying about themselves, so you don't have to worry. God will meet you here.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your